What a rich blessing it is for the moment to have arrived for our annual meeting. It's something that we've been prayerfully looking forward to, a lot of physical preparation, a lot of prayer, and so many of you, significant travel to be here with us, and we so appreciate your visitation with us, and we trust that the most important visitor will be the Lord, as he's already manifested himself with us in our song service. That'll be with us together in our praying time and our preaching time. But I can just say what a blessing that each of you are to the church and to the meeting. And we trust that the church and the meeting will be a blessing to you. We've got a tremendous blessing with the Preach Brethren that are already here with us. But I want to announce the arrangements for this evening. It'll be for Elder Ricky Myers to come forth first and followed by his brother in the flesh and in the spirit, Mickey Myers. And I don't think these two have ever preached together before. No, I think they probably have. But it would be a real blessing for us to hear them tonight, and the Lord bless them. But thankful to have them with us. They're both together at the Antioch Church in Mississippi. And then Brother Ricky is the pastor of five churches. And I'll let him explain that to you in the lunchroom, how that works. But tremendous gift and an effort these two brethren have made in Mississippi, and what a blessing it's been for anybody that gets to visit Mississippi, and our wonderful friends, brothers, and sisters over there. So thankful to be able to go there and to have them visit here with us tonight. So be mindful for those arrangements. Pray for both of these brethren as they come before us. Well, also now, if there's any that we need to mention, be mindful of, we'll mention them now. That we need to mention tonight. We already can give the Lord a thanksgiving for much traveling grace for all those that have already arrived. We know that there's others that are traveling. We want to pray that the Lord will watch over and bless their travels. We've had good reports last Sunday when we went through our prayer requests. We had many good reports of people that had come through surgery and were rehabbing and doing better. So we want to continue to pray, lift them up, and thank the Lord for that deliverance. And as we've been mentioning, we mentioned last week, we were praying for this time that we would have together as a congregation for this meeting, and we'll continue to pray that the Lord will bless us together both tonight and through the weekend. Okay. If nothing else, then Elder Bill Mosley, will you lead us in prayer?
Most gracious, ever be adored Heavenly Father, we come thankfully to Thee, O Lord, that Thou hast blessed us once again to come to Thy house, that we might come up to the place where Thou hast promised to visit and touch our hearts, O Lord, as we come to worship Thee in spirit and in truth. We ask, Lord, first, if You'd forgive us of our many sins and shortcomings. And Lord, as we go forward in this meeting, we ask, Lord, that You would take the things of this world and shut them out. And Lord, make us to look within and see the kingdom of heaven that dwells within Thy children. We ask, Lord, that for a little while we might see Thee high and lifted up in Thy church, that we might feel Thee near us and wrapping us, O Lord, and keeping us in Thy spirit. And, O Lord, it be not too much to ask. We ask that You would anoint these brethren that have come, that You have raised up to preach the gospel, have qualified them, and given them the blessings of their studies. We ask, Lord, that You would take them now. Only one that can do that is the Holy Spirit, to take them into that fertile field of the gospel and to preach without hindrance the truth as it is in Jesus Christ. We ask, Lord, that You would give them the grace to preach, and Lord, that You would give us the grace to hear, that You would make us, O Lord, ready and cause us to ponder the things that are greatly kept in Thy Word. We thank You, Lord, for the many other blessings, especially, Lord, as we come up to the house of God. We thank You for the three gifts that You have given us. These three men, O Lord, that about to embark upon their work, that they might take care of the church's business as deacons. We ask, Lord, that you would help them through their many days ahead of them, that you would be their guide and give them that wisdom of the Holy Ghost, and that it might be a benefit to thy church, that they might not only learn what servitude is, but put it on display and to serve thy people. And, O Lord, in doing so, that they may obtain to themselves a good degree. We ask, Lord, that you would be with this little church here at Little Vine, that you would keep her and help her to continue to grow, that it would be a light in a very dark world. Lord, we ask that you would continue to be with us throughout this night and this weekend as we look to thee, O Lord, the one that we stand in need of. We ask these things, O Lord, in the most beautiful name that our heart can even ponder, the name of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Very thankful for the opportunity to be with you here again. This is my second time here at Little Vine, and I know I thoroughly enjoyed the last time I was here. If I need to speak up, you just need to put your thumb up. I'm going through a little health issue right now, not as strong as I have been, so I don't talk quite as loud, and I think my wife likes that. I call your attention to Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12. As you do pray. For ye are not come, this is verse 18. For ye are not come unto the mount that might be touched, and that burn with fire, unto blackness and darkness and tempest, and the sound of a trumpet, and the voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the words should not be spoken to them any more. For they could not endure that which was commanded, and if so much as a beast touched the mountain, it shall be stoned or thrust through with a dart. And so terrible was the sight that Moses said, I exceedingly fear and quake. This is a reference to Mount Sinai, which is a physical mountain that he's talking about. It could be dealt with the senses. It could be seen.
Right.
And that's what he's talking about. But that's not what we're talking about here. If you go to the next verse. Because the very next verse starts with the word but. When you see the word but in Scripture, it's about to be a very stark contrast of what was said prior to. If you read 2 Kings chapter 5, it talks about a captain of the army by the name of Naaman, who was mighty in valor, a great man. But the very last part of that says, but he was a leper. Stark contrast to those great things about Naaman. He was a leper. But here it says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion, and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, and then it keeps going on. But what I really want to look at is the part that says, but ye are come unto Mount Zion. I don't know your story and your life. I know mine. I was raised Old Baptist. I've been in the Old Baptist church since the day I was born, so to speak, when my parents first took me to church. my brother that's to follow me had a friend of his in college, and he's an Ole Miss Rebel fan. Now, I know I'm in Texas. I know that. And he said he was going to, he was born a rebel, and he was going to live a rebel, and he's going to die a rebel. I was born an Old Baptist, and I'm going to live an Old Baptist. I'm going to die one. And the reason I'm going to die one is because it doesn't get any better. And the Old Baptist doctrine. What peace and consolation I find in what we believe and what we teach. Nowhere else do I see that in this world. Many religions that exist, and I don't put down other religions. Not at all. Not critical. But I am thankful for what I believe. He says, we've come to Mount Zion. Friends, the priorities in your life, what are they? What are they? What's important to you in your life? I've been watching Brother Ward, and I've seen him with his granddaughter. I'll be safe to say she's important to Brother Ward Ryle. So I'd be safe to say, that's my impression that I get. Is that the most important thing to him? What's bothering me today is there are so many people who are forsaking the assembling of themselves. And forfeiting the very privilege that you and I are enjoying tonight. I don't know the place I'd rather be right now. I'm sure with all the universities here in Texas, that's a good baseball game somewhere. But I don't want to be there. There may be other softball or other sporting events or concerts or whatever. But I'm exactly where I want to be, and that's Mount Zion, the church. Where does the church rank in your life? And I'm not talking about this building here. Because what he says here, you come into Mount Zion, here is something that can't be seen with a natural eye. It can't be heard with a natural ear. It can't be felt with a natural touch. This is something that is spiritual, and you can only see through the eye, a spiritual eye, and the eye of understanding that God gives you. This doesn't mean anything to a lot of people. What you're doing tonight, you're just wasting time. But I got news for you. I'm not wasting time. I didn't drive at all. Okay. Let me go ahead and get that straight. I was only one of the four who didn't drive. But I didn't come 500 plus miles for nothing. I came in search of something. And that is the Lord's people gathering to worship Him in spirit and in truth. And let me tell you something. If we had to leave right now, as my dad used to say, I think it's been time well spent that we've been here. The song service was outstanding. I love good singing. Good singing touches my heart. And it prepares me for this part of the service. But he says, but ye are come to Mount Zion. Friends, we have a great opportunity when this place opens its doors, or whatever church you attend, we have a great opportunity to go to that place and worship our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in spirit and in truth. But do we take that opportunity? How many times can we find excuses? I didn't say reasons, I said excuses. There's a couple times I hadn't felt like going to church. I had a sinus infection one time. I didn't feel like going to church, but I went anyway. And you know what I found out? Closer I got to church, the better I started feeling. When the song service cranked up, the better I got to feeling. When the preaching started and the Lord blessed me to preach, I got to feeling better. When lunch came, I got to feeling even better. The fellowship of the saints, it was good. You know, when I got in the car to go home, you know what started happening? Started feeling bad again. I could have stayed home. I could have called the deacon and said, I'm not coming. But I would have forfeited that opportunity. And I'm going to tell you, friends, I don't know how much longer I have to live, and neither do you. But I do not want to forfeit one opportunity to be in the Lord's house.
Amen.
Not one. I want to take every advantage I have to be in the Lord's house. I'm going through a very difficult health issue in my life right now. May require a liver transplant. I will know more after the 16th of June. And this may be the last trip I take for a while, because we have meetings at home I'll be attending here for the near future. And if it's the last one I ever go to, you know what? It's worth the effort. It's worth the effort of coming and being here. I'd like to call your attention to Psalm 48. Psalm 48. Great is the Lord. Boy, there's a lot to be said about that, isn't it? The Lord's been great to us. He's been great to us. I tell them all the time, I live in the very best country on this planet. We have issues, amen. Amen and amen and amen. We got issues. And I know where I'm at, okay, but just bear with me. I live in the best state in this country. You may disagree. That's fine. I hope you do. If you live in Texas, hope you think Texas is better than Mississippi. Sure do. I hope you don't think where I live is better than your place. If you do, come on over. We got room for you. But I say that because within a 90-minute radius of my house, I can be in 20 sound Friendly Baptist churches. 20. What a blessing it is. And we're in direct fellowship with. And I love to attend those churches. And we have annual meetings starting the third weekend of this month, going all the way through the first weekend in August, except for the first weekend in July. It's the only time we don't have a meeting. So if you come to Mississippi, Southwest Mississippi, a.k.a. God's country during that time, you can attend a meeting if you're there on the weekend somewhere. All you got to do is contact me and I'll tell you where it is. I'll tell you how to, I'll tell you how to get there. I may or may not. Some of them's off the beaten path, if you know what I mean. But here he says, great is the Lord and greatly be praised in the city of our God and the mountain of his holiness. Look at verse 2. Beautiful for situation. Now let me tell you something. A lot of people don't understand the Bible because they don't read and study and look what words really mean. The word situation here does not mean what we use it or how we use it in our English language. This situation means elevation. It means elevation. So beautiful for elevation. What is elevation? It's going up, is it not? Have you ever been to church where you went to church and you felt worse when you left? I haven't. I've always felt better. I've always felt better. I got something from the service. You know, there's a problem churches I attend. I have to hear the same preacher way too much. And I'm sure some of these other ministers say they feel the same way. They like it when visitors come. But it elevates us. From what? Where does it elevate us from? This old sin-cursed world that we live in. I don't know about you, But I get beat down by this world.
Yeah.
Oh, I get so beat down by what people think, their ideology, all these things. I don't understand their logic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't. I watched a thing the other day. A young lady went to a college campus, and she interviewed 20 different college students. She asked this question, pro-life or pro-choice? 18 said pro-choice. 18. In my book, that's 90%. So they were pro-choice. I'm pro-life. She went back and she showed like it in sequence. And then went back and asked him one more question. She said, now, should the government require me to have a COVID shot? And all but two of the 18 said yes. And every time she would say, well, isn't that hypocritical?
Yeah.
I mean, this is my body. If I don't have a COVID shot, I don't have to do it. People look at it that way. They don't look at it. How can you think like that? I don't understand. But it brings us up from that world. From this degradation that we live in, the sinful world that we live in. It brings us up from that. He says, the joy of the whole earth. Friends, it doesn't say the happiness. It says it's joy. Because joy can only be found in one place. And that's the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. He comes on and says, and I'm going to come on down to verse 11. It says, let Mount Zion rejoice. Let the daughters of Judah be glad because of thy judgments. Walk about Zion. Walk about Zion. And go round about her. Tell the towers thereof. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Do you mark the bulwarks? That's those things, I believe, that bring us great peace here in this life. I know if this earthly tabernacle is dissolved, I have a place not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. That no one can pluck them out of my Father's hands. That's what Jesus says, because he's greater than all. That he, if he loves us, he will always love us. And there is nothing that can separate us from his love. Got a very good preacher friend of mine from the state of Alabama who was another denomination. And his church taught that you could separate yourself from the love of God. And he got to reading there in Romans chapter 8. It says, nor any creature. He said, you know what? I'm a preacher. I can't separate myself from the love of God. Mark ye well her bulwarks. Consider her palaces, that ye may tell it to the generation following. You know, we have churches back home when I was a kid that was absolutely packed with people. And now they've dwindled down. What's happened? What's happened? I'm going to tell you, the older generation has passed away. And nobody's filling that void. And I can't figure out why. Why would you want to forfeit the church? Why would you want to forfeit that opportunity? Being the Lord's house. What's so important that you don't want to be in the Lord's house? In Matthew chapter 16, and I'm not going much longer. Matthew chapter 16. The Lord asked His disciples, whom do men say that I am? And some said, you're Moses. Some John the Baptist, Elias, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. But whom do you say that I am? And Peter spoke up, thou art the Christ. The Son of the living God. And this is what He says. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed this unto thee, my Father, which is in heaven. And He says, and I say also unto thee that thou art Peter. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, a lot of times I make the mistake of saying I'm going to Brother Mark Richard's church. Now I realize he's the pastor of this church. This is not his church. This is the Lord's church. And the church is not this building. This is the place where the church gathers. His people are His church. And He says, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. There's a scripture I did want to turn and look at very quickly. I forgot about it. This is Psalm 137. He says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sit down, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. We hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof. For there they carried, for they that carried us away captive required of us a song. And they that wasted us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. And they said, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? What had happened to us? You know, when I was growing up, my brother, you may not believe it, he is older than me. We're not twins. People think we have twin names, think we're twins, we're not. But we used to play sports. We either worked or played sports. That's what we had to do growing up. Okay? That was two things we had to do. I mean, we didn't have vehicles run out around town and cell phones, et cetera, et cetera. That was our things to do. And my brother used to tell me, he said, son, I'm going to whip you today in a game of basketball and make you like it. He had the first part right. He was going to whip me. But he wasn't going to make me like it. He says here, how can we sing the song of Zion in a strange land? Friends, there's no matter. Friends, when we come in here, our hearts are built up. And we sing out of hearts of love and adoration to the Lord. In closing, I want to go to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 25. Very, very, very familiar scripture. Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church. How much did He love the church? He gave Himself for it. Friend, that doesn't sound like to me it might be valuable. What it sounds like to me, there's a great value on the church. And we are the church. Once again, it's not this building. It's us, the saints of God, gathered in here to worship Him. My message tonight is very short, very clear. Because I want each and every one of us to realize that the Lord has established His kingdom here for us. For us. For our benefit. For us to learn more about Him. And for the opportunity to fellowship with the saints. And to worship Him in spirit and in truth. Brother Mark has talked about Southwest Mississippi. If you get a chance, please come see us. We'd love to have you. We have a slogan there. We'll treat you in so many ways. You're bound to like one. If I've said anything that brought any comfort to your heart, give the Lord all the honor, glory, and credit. May the Lord bless you.